It's time for the scripture reading, and it's from Esther chapter 4, and it will be in the New Living Translation, which is slightly different from the Bible in the pew, so you can follow along on the overhead. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned what had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, crying with a loud and bitter wail. He stood outside the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter while wearing clothes of mourning. As the news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed, and many people lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Queen Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the sackcloth, but he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed as her attendant. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and to find out what was troubling him and why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. Mordecai told him the whole story and told him how much money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa that called for the death of all Jews, and he asked Hathach to show it to Esther. He also asked Hathach to explain it to her and to urge her to go to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. So Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Then Esther told Hathach to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. The whole world knows that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called me to come to him for more than a month. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent back this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that you will escape there in the palace when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. What's more, who can say but that you have been elevated to the palace for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I'm willing to die. So Mordecai went away and did as Esther told him. This is God's word.
Before we dive into this text, I first just want to express my gratitude for all the cards and the prayers following the death of my dad, and for several of you that came to his service on Thursday. That truly was incredible. I am so blessed by your care and support. This really is an amazing church family. And I am so thankful to be here and to be able to share in ministry together. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for this congregation, for their love and their care. And now, Lord, as we turn and we look at your word, I pray that you would open our eyes so that we would see your truth. Open our ears so that we would hear your voice. Open our minds so we would understand your word. And open our hearts so we may receive all that you want us to receive this day. In Jesus' name, Amen. During the month of January, as I have done previously the last few years, we've had a mission focus. When you hear that word mission, what comes to mind? Going somewhere, something that takes place, you know, over there, done by someone else. The definition of mission actually is a task or job someone is given to do. We often tend to think of it just in terms of sending, like sending a group to a foreign mission field. But mission is broader than that. And as we draw the month of January to a close with this focus on mission, I want to highlight that this is something for which we are all called to do. We have been given the task of sharing the gospel, of reaching out to those around us with the love of God. This morning, I want to encourage and to challenge you to see where God has placed you for such a time as this. We are to recognize who we are in Christ. And as we seek Him, live our lives according to His purposes, looking at where we have been placed and how God can use us to reach out to others. You may have heard this biography. Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, took ill on Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. And that was the end of Solomon Grundy. Yeah, well, for some people, that does sum up their life. But we were created for so much more. We can live lives of real purpose that will make a difference to the world. The text that I want us to consider this morning is taken from the book of Esther. The book of Esther is about a Jewish girl who ends up being the queen of Persia and is able to save her people, the Jews, from destruction. Esther's Jewish name was Hadassah. Her parents had died when she was young, and her cousin Mordecai took her in and raised her. When the queen of Persia, Queen Vashti, refused to come to a special banquet at the request of King Xerxes, because of her defiance, he had her banished from his presence. And so the search needed to begin for a new queen. To do this, all the beautiful young girls from all the surrounding provinces were taken to the palace. Esther was one of these. She was taken from her guardian, Mordecai, to the royal Persian court, and then after a year of preparation, was presented to the king. And Esther ended up being the one chosen. She was named the new queen, not only because of her extraordinary beauty, but also because of her character. And in Esther 2, 16 to 17, we read, Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. Meanwhile, the king's top assistant, a man by the name of Haman, plotted to murder every Jewish man, woman, and child in all of Persia. Haman had issued a decree that all should bow down before him as he passed as a sign of respect. Mordecai, however, refused to bow down before Haman. Well, that, of course, infuriated him. And he became so angry that he decided to eliminate every Jew in the kingdom. So he manipulated the king, presenting the issue as a matter of loyalty, to make the royal decree to have all the Jews annihilated. The king agreed to this, and he issued an edict to all the 127 provinces, saying that on the 13th of Adar, the Jews in all the provinces were to be exterminated and their property kept as plunder. At stake were the lives of thousands and thousands of God's people. God's people were in distress. And it's at this point where I began reading this morning in chapter 4. When Mordecai hears of this, he puts on sackcloth and ashes, a sign of mourning. And he quickly sends word to Esther that she must go to the king to stop this horrible decree from becoming a reality. Esther, however, is afraid to approach the king. It's known that anyone who approaches the king without being summoned faces the chance of death. But Mordecai sees the bigger picture and tells Esther, "Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?" And summoning all of her courage, Esther agrees to go to the king. But first, she asks Mordecai to request of all the Jews to fast for 3 days. Esther then goes to the king, and he does extend that golden scepter to her. The king ends up seeing the damage that Haman has caused and appoints Mordecai as the new prime minister. And then a new edict is declared, granting the Jews the right to defend themselves, to destroy and to plunder every enemy who might just even raise a hand against them. The people were saved. And the Jews to this day commemorate this event with the Feast of Purim. Like the Passover, the Feast of Purim celebrates divine deliverance. Quite the story, isn't it? Here is someone who you would not have imagined to save the Jews from destruction. She's young. She's an orphan. A woman. A Jew. And here was someone who didn't have an easy life. The heartbreak of losing her parents. And then taken away, forced to compete for the affection of a king. In spite of her past, in spite of the difficult situation in which she is placed, she allows God to use her. And he can do the same for us. The singer-songwriter Sheila Walsh said, "Don't wait for your list of grievances to be met before you're willing to move forward in God's will. He can use you right where you are." There's an old saying, you know, bloom where you are planted. Maybe you remember that. And in the devotional guide, Our Daily Bread, there was an illustration about blooming while in the midst of trials and difficulties. This is the story that is shared. A little girl walking in a garden noticed a particularly beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and enjoyed its fragrance. "Oh, it's so pretty," she exclaimed. And as she gazed on it, her eyes followed the stem down the soil to where it grew. "This flower is too pretty to be planted in such dirt," she cried. So she pulled it up by its roots and ran to the water faucet to wash away the soil. It wasn't long until the flower wilted and died. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he exclaimed, "You've destroyed my finest plant." "I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in that dirt," she said. The gardener replied, "I chose that spot and mixed the soil because I knew that only there it could grow into a beautiful flower." It is easy to complain about the circumstances in which we find ourselves and fail to realize that God is able to use the pressures, the difficulties, the dirt, if you will, in which we find ourselves. Life may not be ideal where you are, but it's in that soil that God can use us and grow us into that beautiful flower. We can trust our lives into his hands and indeed bloom where we are planted. The Apostle Paul told the new believers in Corinth to faithfully serve the Lord right where they were. He advised them to serve the Lord in their current city, in their present occupation, and in their social status. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 7:17, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them." The Message paraphrase puts it this way: "And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there." J. David Hoke says, "In today's society, we hear a message that says, if only our situation were different, we would be happier and more fulfilled. And where does all this lead? It leads to a general dissatisfaction with life, as well as further unhappiness. And perhaps worst of all, it keeps you from being the man or woman of God that you were created to be, because it leads you to believe that you are not in a position to serve God as yet." One professor commented, "Oftentimes my students will say, there are no openings to serve at my church." My response, "Oh yes, there are. They're probably begging for someone to teach third grade boys." The momentary silence and probably laughter reveals this thought: "Yeah, but anyone can teach third grade boys, although I kind of doubt that." The response, "I had something bigger in mind, like maybe an opening in the Trinity." Where have you been planted? What are the opportunities around you? What does God have for you where you have been placed? Are you in that place for such a time as this? People around us are in peril, and we have a choice to respond or to do nothing. One thing that is crucial to keep in mind is that prayer is of utmost importance. When Esther knew in her heart that God was calling her, she took action. She told Mordecai to have her people begin praying and fasting on her behalf. Esther knew that if she was going to fulfill this divine calling, she couldn't do it relying on her own resources or clever schemes. Through prayer and fasting, she relied on God. She asked for God's wisdom and power for every move. Through the Holy Spirit, God will empower us to take actions where we need to take for such a time as this. Mission opportunities abound around us. Will we step out, and will we respond to the call? We sometimes often think of a call as one to a missionary, one who then heads out to the corners of the world. And maybe God does want to call someone here to do that, to go overseas. My daughter Emily, her roommate in London, recently sensed this call. And 2 weeks ago, she left for a two-year post to be part of an emergency response team in the South Sudan. A few weeks ago, we prayed for Sarah-Lena as she felt called to head out. And Margaret's husband is currently away. But mission is not just something called to do away from home. Don't discount the work of mission here. Where is it that God has placed you? And what might God have you to do right where you are now? Who knows, but that you have come to your position for such a time as this. God has placed you where you are to build his kingdom, to help his people, to fulfill his purposes. There is something you can do for God that no one else can do. A God-given niche that only you can fill. I know God is using so many of you here in regards to mission. We have some nurses in our congregation, and one of them on their green card always prays for the people with whom she works. and the patients under her care. This is her mission field, and God is using her in so many ways. The places where we work are amazing opportunities to witness and to touch people's lives. So this morning, in a few minutes that we have, I would like to acknowledge some of these mission things that are going on, to celebrate what is happening, and then to be able to pray for one another. So I'm going to mention a few individuals and the things that they're involved with. And what I would like you to do is, when I mention your name, is if you would stand. And then after I've come up with a list, then I would like others of you to just stand and then say what you are involved in. Here at the church, you know, we have the moms group. You hear about that periodically. An opportunity to reach out to young mothers. Shirley, Marion, and Percy are some of the people involved. So that gets us your cue to stand. I know Shirley's upstairs. Nancy and Peter Slynn run a program called Empty Cradle. There's the Doris Penner Group, who supports a variety of people. Many of you are involved in that group. Wynn Wood is involved in the food bank. Vi Meach volunteers at Century House and at Thornbridge. Elsie volunteers at Queen's Park. Okay, you got to keep standing. Don't hesitate. Mike Budzik, he's a scoutmaster, works with boys in the Boy Scout. Mary Dyke, involved in women's ministry and on one of our denomination boards. Mark Fox. So some of these people aren't here. What are they doing, sleeping today? They're working, exactly. He's involved in a prison ministry. Bernadette and Jane are involved in the healing rooms, a prayer ministry. David Musser, Habitat for Humanity. Jana, Young Life. Adam Anderson, treasurer here, as well as on the board of Carey and treasurer for the Keats Cottagers Committee. Norman Roberts, he does coaching for kids. Sue McAndrew plays for a choir. How about those of you that have gone to the dinners next door with Journey Home? Someone from Journey Home is actually sharing with the kids today. Or we're involved in helping plant the garden. Okay, now there's lots more. Thanks to Dawn, who helped me last night come up with some of these. So I want to hear from you. What are some other things that you are involved with that you see are mission things in your life? So be bold, stand, and then just state it. So I see somebody, you're getting poked over here. Okay, go for it. Stand and tell us. Youth ministry.
Doris in charge of 50 plus.
Okay, Doris.
And I think the children's ministry is very important.
Yep, it is, definitely.
As well as the camps that we hold for the community here at the church in the summertime.
Yeah, I missed lots. This is your opportunity to state all these things. Yeah.
For this week, when mental health gave me a Queensland bed, I was hoping for a twin. I gave that away to one couple in one of the homes, including one of the
offices. Okay, so able to reach out to others.
Now I have twins out there.
Great.
In our office, not in this church, but we are all mission field missionaries. At the doorstep.
Yes, exactly. Okay, some of you just aren't bold enough. Because I know there's lots more happening. So what I want to do this morning is I want to end praying for everybody. And you can sit down if you want. Thank you. And those of you that stood, and anyone else that would like prayer for a mission opportunity that they see they are in your work, whatever it is, places that God has called you. Or maybe as you have been sitting here this morning, you felt God pull on your heart and go, this is a place where I have called you. Everett Hale said, I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Where has God placed you for such a time as this? So as we close, I'll invite the team to come up. I would like you to come forward, because in order to move forward in these areas, we need to have the strength and the wisdom to do what God is calling us. And so we need His hand on us. We need the power of His Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to come forward. Now, what I'd like to do is have council whoever would like to pray come up first and then face that way. And then if you would like prayer, come forward and face this way, so we'll know who to pray for. And we may just even do a switch so we can pray and minister to one another. So as we close, I invite you now to come forward for prayer.